Hey, Unnecessary Roughness listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Maybe don't yell at me and let's just get ready and do the show. You ever think about that?
I'm not yelling at you. You've just asked me the same question for the last hour.
I asked you if you're ready.
And I said I've been ready for an hour when we first started talking about doing the podcast a little bit earlier because the games are out of control.
Right. But are you ready now?
Yes.
I'm not concerned if you were ready then. I'm wondering if you're ready now.
I was ready then. I stayed ready. And now I'm ready to go.
If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. That's what my old coach used to tell me.
I've been staying ready since you text the group text over an hour ago.
All right. Well, Katie's not here with us. She's traveling. She's still back in Indiana, I guess.
Yeah, I think she went to the game, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But
you want to call that a game?
Well, I think she went to see the intro. You know, it sucks for her to have to fly back commercial. You know, that's unfortunate for her.
Poor people problems.
I know it. God, we're such assholes. But we are home. We're going to do this thing. And you're, yep. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little bit testy. So.
Well, we're also going to have to talk about your behavior in Bloomington, aren't we?
No.
We're going to have to talk about your behavior because I don't know how becoming your behavior is. It's
not becoming at all. Why do we have to do this?
It's not great. And Mr. and Mrs. Smith, you might want to skip this one.
No, it's not that bad.
Frankly, Mr. and Miss Pondicio, you might want to join them. You might want to join them. All right. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Let's do it.
The kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
We failed to make our coaching points and our points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends.
Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Hi, welcome into Unnecessary Roughness Barstool's college football podcast, the number one college football podcast by audience in America.
The planet.
The earth.
Yeah, because
the universe.
I don't know what the aliens are up to, but I would assume that if they do have college football, that it's probably not as good as ours, and the podcast definitely isn't as good. But you'd have to assume if we're the number one podcast in the country, we're also the number one podcast on earth because nowhere else plays college football.
I wonder if alien college football has a Nick Saban or if he was sent here from them.
That's a good question. I mean, if that's the case though, then it's like, you've got to add in like the Tom Brady's of the world, like maybe right. Bill Belichick too. It's like, are they aliens?
Is Nick Saban an alien? My column.
I like it. Honest. That's kind of the mood that I'm in tonight. Like, let's do some conspiracy theories. I mean, I know we had some good games. It was kind of a weak slate.
Well, here's the thing. You can complain about a weak slate beforehand, but you always know in any capacity college football is going to deliver. Like,
yep.
just when you think you're going to have an easy round in there with college football, it hits you with a 1-2 right across the jaw, and then you're like searching for your mouthpiece, wondering what happened. And I think there's a couple of schools and teams that got that 1-2 to the jaw today. You know, and one of them's in Happy Valley. I think another one's in Norman. There are some teams that we just assumed would cruise and didn't. But before we go any further, we were at the show today, the college football show in Bloomington, and I actually met up with a I don't know if it, I don't think it was a High Noon rep. I think it was somebody who was pretty high up in High Noon. I don't know. I know his name. I'm not going to say it, but he was a High Noon guy. High Noon guy, and he thanked me and you for being ride or die High Noon since the day that we started this podcast. But how could we not? Because it's so delicious, so wonderful. High Noon, it is real vodka, real juice, real people like you and me. It is the best.
Jack, Brandon did something so nice for me last night. So we were at the college football show today, obviously. That feels like it was 10 years ago at this point. But last night we were at Kilroy's to see Pup Punk, which was an absolute zoo. And at our VIP tables, we had, you know, bottle service and then a lot of High Noon. Well, most of the buckets of High Noon were, you know, the different, all the different flavors, except for peach. There were no peach in any of the buckets, which was, you know, hey, listen, I like all the flavors. I can get over it. I was crushing the grapefruit, the lime, whatever. And then all of a sudden, like an hour after sitting at the table, Brandon just comes walking around and just presents me a single peach that he had dug into a different bucket for. And it was the nicest thing he's ever done for me.
That's one of the nicest things I've ever heard Brandon do.
He was chivalrous. He was spending time searching for a peach just for me.
That's very nice. Also, outside of, I guess, Arizona State and Miami, I've never heard of a college bar having bottle service, but I saw it last night with Kilroy's, and it seemed like you guys had a great time, which is awesome.
We had bottle service on multiple floors of Kilroy's. That's what's even crazier. Like, we had bottle service on the concert floor, and then afterwards, Dave got us a table upstairs. It was a scene in Bloomington. I will say it was my first time to Bloomington, an absolute scene.
Oh, God.
What? Is there a mouse?
Fucking. Okay, my lock on the college football show was Virginia minus 6.5. Virginia minus 6.5. I'm trying to win $50,000 against Dave, who doesn't care about the money at all. I Virginia 6.5, and they were cruising. They were up 48-27 like seconds ago. Seconds ago.
Oh,
and
no.
Now, Georgia Tech, with 22 seconds left, scored a touchdown to make it 48-40, and them sons of bitches went for two. They didn't get it.
Oh. God,
they almost – I hope it's not reviewing or something.
Oh, Brandon.
Oh, no. Two-point conversion failed. Okay, all right. They can still get the onside kick and come get me, but
– Wait, what did you have?
6.5. It's 48-40. If they got the two-point conversion, they'd have won by – they lost by six.
Yeah. Tough. Dave's lock was also my lock, which was the easiest lock ever, which was A&M minus 19.5, which means that Dave is now in the lead. And if you're listening to
this – No, he's not.
Yeah.
Did you not hear that entire story I just said?
Oh, wait. That means you guys are still tied.
I don't know that you – I how'd they get – Jack, what's happening?
I know. See, that's what I'm confused
about. Did they get the onside kick?
I'll let you know what happens.
Jack, did they get the onside kick? How did they keep getting the ball? How did they keep getting the ball?
What's this happening?
My latest from one of Georgia Tech's blogs, like I think the SB Nation one, they haven't updated yet.
Oh my God.
Jack, what are you doing?
Tech recovers onside kick.
They did.
Okay. All right. We're going to go forward.
Well, while you're doing this, while you're freaking out, like, have your little meltdown for 2 seconds. We have 22 seconds left. Of course, no one can get the fucking ACC network, so it's not like we can actually be watching it. But Dave made a thing, Jack, on the college football show today that whoever wins the FTX, whichever school wins the FTX thing, that if you go and like sign up with your .edu, the number one school, if Dave wins the $50,000, he will be throwing a Barstool exclusive party at that school. So if you're listening and you're like, oh shit, like I want Barstool.
Well, nobody cares. Fine. Dave's going to throw a rich guy party. Okay. I'm trying to get money for my kids.
So if Brandon wins,
y'all ain't seeing shit. No, I'm not giving anybody anything.
Essentially taking away an awesome event at a school that we could build yes. Lifelong fans there. Like, God knows how much money we could make off of that party. Lifelong yes. Fans. That's, like, you can't even put a number on that.
Jack, you and I have been together for 2 years, okay? So I pray that you will know not to take any offense at what I'm about to say. Suck my fucking dick.
Yeah, no. I take no offense. I'm just trying to get a read on the situation.
Yeah, no, Jack, you nailed it. So basically, me, Dan, and Ev have like sucked out loud when it comes to our locks. So we're out of it, barring some crazy thing happening. Dan and Dave are neck and neck. And
me and Dave.
Excuse me, Brandon and Dave. And you hit it on the head. If Dave wins, like, thousands of happy college kids win. If Brandon wins, Brandon wins.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And my family, yes.
Yes. That's which is fine. I understand. What's happening in this game, though? Because I haven't gotten an update.
They're reviewing the onside kick.
Peck is now driving with 13 seconds left. Medium game, out of bounds. Gibbs, I think that's the quarterback for Virginia Tech.
I have Georgia Tech. I have the ACC network downstairs. We might run downstairs with my computer and watch the end of it. I just relax. Everybody relax. If everybody could relax for a second, that would be nice.
Tech up to the UVA 30. 10 seconds now.
Do you enjoy your job?
Mine?
No, I'm talking to him.
Oh.
Yeah, no. There's 5 seconds left now. I'm just updating you.
Your mic stinks tonight. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, Jack.
All right. Well,
I'll fix it now. I just don't ever talk again unless you're telling me that Virginia won by 8 points. Okay. All right. We got a lot to talk about in college football. Before we get to that, people will complain on Facebook. I don't care. Do you want to go ahead and discuss your behavior?
No, I don't.
Jack, what if I told you that I was out to a nice dinner in Bloomington? First of all, let me shout out Bloomington, Indiana. I've always heard it's nice. It is beautiful, fantastic, wonderful college town. Restaurants, bars, clean, beautiful. I had a 2-mile walk on campus today. Bloomington, everything I ever heard of and even more. One of the greatest college towns I've ever seen. I went out to dinner with Katie Statz and with Casey Smith yesterday. We also took David Blattman, the Barstool College Football Show producer, because, my God, nobody else was going to take him. So we went out to dinner, and Casey, at the end of dinner.
Wait, you missed a part.
I didn't. Go ahead.
Jack, he was so full that he had to leave the table because he could not sit any longer. So he left me, Katie, and Blattman sitting at the table by ourselves, and we were waiting for the check, so we had time to discuss. Score.
UVA 48, Georgia Tech 40.
Final score?
Final.
All right. Yes. Good update, Jack. Good tweet, Jack.
I'm clapping. I want the party. No offense to your kids, but I want the party. Anyways.
Yeah, like, so you're not, you can't have a party whenever the fuck you want. All right, go.
So he leaves, and we start discussing what the plans for the evening are.
Wait a minute. Wait, can I stop you there?
Sure.
It's time for me to admit something as a human male, okay? One of my most hated things in life is the time period after I have finished my dinner at a restaurant and when I get the check and can pay at a restaurant. If that drags over 90 seconds to 2 minutes, I start freaking out. I start noticing every conversation in the building. I start smelling every piece of food. The walls close in on me. When I get done eating, I am done eating and want to get the fuck out of that restaurant. I've done that my whole life. So when we got done with our steaks yesterday and y'all were just happy-go-lucky talking about things, I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. So I left. I went and sat outside in the air, and it was great. And then, so, dragging too long, but they come out, and Casey Smith, the dear, beautiful, lovely, talented Casey Smith,
thank you,
looks me dead in the eye and says, we have to stop at a gas station. I have to get tampons. Now, you know, Jack, that's a magic word with us. We hear that word. We're going to stop. We'll stop. We'll make sure you'll get it. You'll get it. We'll stop. Anytime a woman mentions that, they have the power in the situation. Whatever we need to do to handle that for you, we'll do it. So I drove to a gas station. Okay. Katie and Casey both get out. I'm sitting in the driver's seat. I've got the always boring David Blattman to my side.
Oh, poor Blattman.
Casey walks out after 3 minutes in there, holds up a soft pack of Marlboro menthol cigarettes. And that's what she purchased inside. So, Jack, what happened was she told me she had to get tampons so I would stop. And her and Katie hatched a plan that they wanted to smoke cigarettes last night.
No. And this is where Blattman will probably be mad. He was just as much in this. And I would like it on record. I've never smoked cigarettes ever. But for some reason right now, smoking cigarettes at Barstool has become this thing. I don't know. John's people are dressing up as John for Halloween with the cigarette and the banana. Yeah, PFT. It like looks cool again, I guess. I don't know what came over us. I will say, I figured if I said, hey, Brandon, we want to go get cigarettes for the Pup Punk show, you would say no. It was kind of a dirty trick by me. But it wasn't just my idea. Katie and Blattman were in on it too.
Well, let me admit something to you real quick. There was a moment when she walked outside and held up the cigarettes where I thought, so cigarettes can be used as substitutes for tampons? She's going to stick those cigarettes or per
that? I just, when you were talking, you said, no, you said that she held up the Marlboro Reds. I thought you were going to tell me that it was such a dire situation that the only thing she could find that was even close to a tampon was the Marlboro Reds. Then I was going to ask her if she got a buzz off of them, because I mean, it would have been.
Nicotine would
have gone into her bloodstream.
Yeah, that would have certainly provided some sort of buzz. These three idiots, we get back to the hotel. These three idiots stand outside in the cold and rain, smoking cigarettes like some 15-year-olds that just got out of detention at middle school. And unbelievable. Anyway, we got to go.
It really was. It wasn't just the three of us either. It was everyone except for Brandon, obviously. There was something, and I don't know if it was the Pup Punk vibes. I don't know. But all of Barstool last night decided, you know what? We're going to try cigarettes tonight. And I don't think I've ever even noticed that. Like I know for sure I have never smoked a cigarette with anybody at Barstool. I've smoked weed with people at Barstool plenty of times, but never just like ripping menthols. I don't know what happened. It was the weirdest thing. And like, I'll never do it again. It was just like Bloomington, Indiana. Like, that's what we wanted to do. Brandon, you know what I was doing while I was watching the Alabama-Tennessee game finish?
What were you doing?
I was on my laptop and I was kind of creeping around, you know, getting ready for the podcast. And I remembered that I got an email from our sales team that told me that I get to select free bare bottom clothing to be sent to the office because they are now helping sponsor this podcast. And I got to be honest, it put a little jolt in my system because we get to pick out a lot of good stuff. And I've worn a couple of bare bottom stuff that's been around the office. It is so soft. It is so nice and so versatile. And I know that it's made for guys.
Yeah, whatever. I'm just scrolling through my email and I don't seem to have that.
I think you got it. You got it. I'll send it to you again. You definitely get it. You get to go on and it's like, you get to select your clothes and you can, we've been talking about bare bottom for a while. You know, they've got the shorts, yeah. They've got all the hoodies, they've got tees, they got long sleeve tees, they have graphic tees, they have swim trunks, and they've gained like a cult-like following. I know half of the office wears it every single day. We absolutely love it. They have their five, you can do different types of inseams, you have the 5.5 inseam, they've got the 7-inch inseam. So bare bottom is just, they're rocking it. They've got joggers now too. I mean, it's getting cold out.
Yeah, I have several pair of the joggers. I also have, they have the best t-shirts in the game.
Just
a normal color, just a one color t-shirt. I've got a green one. I got a red one. I got a blue one. They got them in long sleeve. I mean, bare bottom is, listen, we're both kind of tight with Marty Mush. Marty Mush wears bare bottom like every day. There's certain guys that just wear it every single day because it's comfortable. And you can wear it in business settings. You can wear it in workout settings. You can wear it at home. Bare bottom is fantastic.
And for the girls that are listening out there, one of the things I like to do is get the long sleeve. The t-shirts are so comfortable, but get them like oversized, wear them with leggings or like use it as, tie around your waist. So it's like because all the colors are so great. So you can definitely do a lot of different things with it. And right now, well, first of all, before we give you guys a deal, bare bottom is also every time an item is sold, they donate a school lunch to a child in need. So bare bottom is making us feel comfortable, look great, and also feeding children. Sounds good to me.
Oh, isn't that nice? That's fantastic.
Fantastic. You get free shipping right now on your first order at barebottomclothing.com with the code Walker. That's B-E-A-R, like the animal, bottomclothing.com using the code Walker.
All right. So there we go. We set all that up.
Brandon was so offended by it. He went and like was like talking shit behind our back because like Rudy, who's also smoking cigarettes, came up to me. He was like, man, Brandon was not happy you guys tricked him into buying cigarettes.
Okay.
By the way, so I would have actually, no. I used to be very addicted to nicotine. I haven't smoked or like dipped in 15 months or so, but I think I would have ripped a cigarette too with you guys.
All of our still was, except for Brandon. So,
all right, Casey, you're a grown woman. If you want to stop for cigarettes, just say you want to stop for cigarettes. I'll stop for cigarettes.
But it was funnier to do it that way.
Yes.
But no, there was that second where I was like, cigarettes up her.
Well, because we are dragging it on too long, but like Blavin and Katie were like, well, let's just tell him to stop. I was like, I'll handle this because I wanted to see your reaction when I showed you the box. Anyways,
All right. I can't overstate this enough. Bloomington, Indiana, awesome place. We ate at Little's Grip, awesome people. And like, they're a fan base that knew what was going to happen tonight in that game, but they were still there. They were still loud. They were still great. Bloomington, Indiana was great. All right, football wise, this is a year, and maybe every year is like that, but this is truly a year where you cannot assume anything. We entered this Saturday with assumptions. You know, we put a couple games aside. Like, we thought maybe USC Notre Dame could turn into something. We thought Oklahoma State, Iowa State could be a good game, and it absolutely was. I thought, you know, NC State, Miami could be a good game. It was. LSU, Ole Miss had potential. But otherwise, we assumed the top-ranked teams that were not going to be challenged were going to cruise. We assumed, you know, Oklahoma's got Kansas. That's an easy win. They'll handle business. We'll move on. Penn State got a huge game next week against Ohio State. They'll handle business against Illinois, one of the worst teams in the league. We'll move on. But you can't assume in college football, can you, Casey Smith?
You cannot assume. And speaking of, as we're talking about this, Miami is driving to close the door on NC State.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where college football just keeps – it keeps changing. Every time you think you know the answers, it changes the question.
We're a broken record. We've been saying it almost every single week since probably week two, that this feels like 2007. This feels like some weird, chaotic year. The only thing that we know right now, and I think that we all agree on, is that Georgia appears to be the best team in the country, is the best team in the country. And every single week, it just gets weirder and weirder. Hank, the producer for Pardon My Take, was on the trip with us this weekend, and he said on the bus, he said it perfectly. He was like, you literally cannot make sense of college football. Like, there is no rhyme or reason to what's happening. He was talking about his own bets, but and just hearing somebody that like from usually isn't on our trips with us saying that, I was like, oh yeah, like he just nailed that. We have no fucking clue what's happening in college football this year.
I mean, we had Penn State losing to Illinois. It just never entered my mind. Cincinnati not cruising against Navy was shocking to me. Again, Oklahoma just needing to pull the iron out of the fire at Kansas. But where we start, I think we start in State College. I think we start in Happy Valley. I think we thought next week would be a huge showdown week, and it still will be pretty good. But Penn State, Ohio State was one of the linchpins of that. Penn State, Ohio State was going to be huge next week. But now Penn State lost at home to Illinois. They lost at home to Illinois. It's one of those situations where even if they end up winning that game in 25 overtimes, the damage was already done, but they lose. Now, let's attack it this way. This is the first time we've seen the overtime rule the way it is, where you, by the third overtime, it's nothing but two-point conversions. How do we feel about it?
I think it's stupid. I've always thought it was stupid. And, you know, they implemented this new stupid rule because of the A&M-LSU game in 2018 when it went to 7 regular overtimes. Now we had 9 overtimes. And I understand that it's less time because of you don't have to actually score a touchdown. But it's so dumb and buffoonish. And the fact, like, we were watching that and we're like, this could literally go on forever. They cannot get 2 yards. Well,
I guess when the architects of college football sat down and designed this rule, they didn't count on 2 inept Big Ten teams being able to go 10 straight two-point conversions without scoring. Can I say that again? 2 Big Ten teams went 10 straight two-point conversions without scoring. And then they had 14 in all. They scored on three of them. Illinois ended up scoring on two, and then Penn State won. So this wasn't the greatest debut for this overtime format. Now, I believe – I'm just going to go ahead and say this. The fact that they wanted the seven overtime game like A&M, LSU out is stupid in the first place, because that was an all-time classic. We should try to be getting all-time classics. This today, not an all-time classic. But they could have – it would have benefited them a lot if the first major usage of this rule didn't fall to these two teams.
Or any team that just could not get in the end zone. I mean, at one point, it was happening like right before we were going on stage for the college football show, and we were trying to delay it just because we wanted to see who won, and we had to like leave and watch it on stage because it was getting so clownishly long. It looks stupid. It is stupid. And I know that the argument with the A&M LSU game was that, you know, that they were on the field too long. You know, they'd basically played another football game. Fine. But like, figure out something else out, because watching that, it was a dumpster fire of a display of the new overtime rules.
I don't know that I hate the rule. I don't know that I hate the rule. I think the rule happens too soon. I think you should go to like maybe after the fourth overtime.
Maybe, but like, to me, that would be like in a basketball game, like you just start shooting free throws. Like that doesn't like, that's not a good way. I mean, and I say that and I'm hypocritical because I love shootouts in soccer and I love shootouts in hockey. And I know that the purists of those sports are like, well, that's not fair either, because it doesn't show, you know, the actual entire game, but 2-point conversions back and forth, especially because majority of the time,
yeah,
it's not going to go nine overtimes. Majority of the time, it's just going to be like it. And if it does go nine overtimes, because they're both making it, like that would even be worse than what we saw today. I feel like
I think that'd be much better. Just imagine like if this were Alabama, Ohio State with great offenses and they just kept scoring two for two. Like that would have been
exciting. Better football, but not as funny. That's for
sure. These two teams they were dropping passes. They were not, it was just ugly. One time a guy, the quarterback broke his wrist. Like it was just a wild display. But either, again, put the overtime aside. Arthur Sitkowski for Illinois passed for 38 yards in four quarters and two overtimes and won the game. He can I say that again? He passed for 38 yards in four quarters, two overtime, and he won the game on the road at Penn State. This has to be one of the most disappointing Penn State losses of all time for that fan base, because you lose to Iowa on the road, but you had an excuse, right? Clifford got hurt. Well, here you had him. He was here all day, and you couldn't move the ball against – I'm going to check my notes again. Illinois? You couldn't move the ball against Illinois? Like,
to the point where players after the game – I can't remember who said it. Like, I think it was Casey Washington. I saw it on Twitter. Was like talking about how he was like crying. Like, you lost to a team that cried because they beat you.
It really goes to show you, you can never put anything in the bag in this sport, because yeah, I could see Penn State losing because they're not all that great, but to Illinois, like, yeah, this is Illinois. Can we just go back to the last show, that shitty show we had the other day? Can we go back to that when Brett Bielema was like, these players all suck?
Why'd you say it was a shitty show?
I wasn't feeling it that day.
I thought it was a fine show.
I wasn't feeling it. I was scatterbrained. Remember that day? And I was just everywhere.
Yeah, no, I was having a really bad day too, but I thought that the show was fine. But yes, Brett Bielema.
Sorry, I've taken measures to fix it. I've got some segments for Tuesday that we're gonna do that keeps us going the right way.
We were fine. What are you fucking talking about?
I'm telling you that I didn't think it was a great show. I texted Jack earlier. I was like, I didn't think Tuesday was very good. That's on me. I thought I was bad.
You weren't.
I thought I was.
I just wanted to say, any Penn State fan saying it was ridiculous or they got unlucky, it was a ridiculous way to decide a football game. Guys, you were, 28-point favorites at home? You had every chance to win that game. I feel zero empathy for Penn State. It also goes back to, you brought it up, Casey, and I'm a fan of soccer or football, as they call it. And oftentimes people say penalty shootouts is not how games should be decided. You had 90 minutes to win the game, though.
Yeah,
you had 60 minutes in the college football game, NFL too. Yeah, we have to find a way to win somehow.
And if you're not going to be the better team for the first 60 minutes, then it's like, yeah, it's unfair, but like tough luck. Like, it's just like, I don't necessarily agree with the rules, but, and I think it was dumb, but Penn State, like the only person Penn State can blame today is themselves.
1,000%. I mean, it wasn't Ohio State that this happened. It was Illinois.
Yeah.
Isn't Sitkowski, isn't he normally like he's the backup?
He came in, remember against Nebraska, Brandon Peters got hurt. He came in that game and was actually pretty good. I think he's kind of been back and forth this year.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like, I know that he took over for Brandon Peters, but like, it's not like, any Penn State fan that's complaining about anything other than Penn State football team is just wrong after what we just saw.
But where are you at mentally if you're a Penn State fan? Like, you suffered through last year, starting 0-5, and then you got it out of the fire. And then this year you came in, you beat Wisconsin to start the season, you beat Auburn, you're feeling so good. And then, you lose to Iowa, and fine, whatever, that happens. But then this, like, the bottom falls out of the program, like, in a second. Like, is James Franklin focused on LSU or USC? Why? How'd this happen? How the fuck did this happen?
Especially if you're a Penn State fan looking around the rest of the conference right now, realizing that had they won this game next week, which we've been talking about, October 30th being huge for the Big Ten, you now have Michigan and Michigan State. Both are undefeated. You have Ohio State absolutely rolling. And had Penn State beat Illinois, which like we all thought they would, and not only that, a lot of people thought they would cover the point spread, they could still potentially be in the mix for the top of the Big Ten, even with that loss to Iowa. And now it's just poof, gone. Like, next weekend means nothing for their race because there's too many teams in front of them now.
All right, I'm going to stay in the Big Ten for a little while. I got a couple things to say. You know, we have already kind of, based on what has happened in college football this season, we've kind of all decided that Georgia has looked the best. We can comfortably say Georgia is the best team in the country right now until they show us a reason otherwise. I am ready, on behalf of Brandon Walker Incorporated, to announce the second best team in the country. It's not Alabama. It's not Oklahoma. It's not Cincinnati. It's the Ohio State Buckeyes. And I know Indiana's not very good. I understand that. But that's the best offense in the country, period. That's the best running back in the country. I don't care what class he's in. They got the best receiving core. And that quarterback has figured it out. Ohio State's the second best team in the country as of right now, and I will hear nothing of the sort, any other sort.
I mean, granted, you know, like you said earlier in the show, like even the Indiana fans that were at our live show today, like when Dave asked if any of them even thought they were going to win, there was no peeps. Like, they obviously, no one thought that they were going to be in that game. But I mean, CJ, I've been saying since the beginning, I thought Ohio State might miss the playoff. I'm still riding high with Michigan. We don't have to get down that road right now. But watching what C.J. Stroud and Travion Henderson did tonight, you absolutely have to say they're one of the best offenses in the country. And they have figured out we buried them too quick. And it was easy. It's a lot easier to do when, you know, somebody that we work with is a fan of a team that loses early. But, I mean, Indiana stinks. Don't get me wrong. But Ohio State looked really fucking good today.
Yeah, I mean, they just keep coming at you. Like, they lost to Oregon, fine, but they lost to Oregon in week two. Teams get better or worse throughout the year, period. And I think, as it stands right now, they are the second best team in the country. I think no matter who they play, they're going to score 50. And I said it on my show last week. I think we're going to see an Ohio State-Georgia national championship game. I might have said it here, too. I don't remember. Me and you both, we have all these fucking shows and all these things we say. It's hard to keep in line with what we say. But I really think Ohio State's the second best team in the country. And I think this whole Big Ten buildup that we've had, you know, building up Michigan, Michigan State, building up Penn State, building up this month of November where they're all going to play, it's just going to be a one-month Ohio State coronation as they cruise through all these teams. That's my opinion.
Next week is still a huge, I mean, and we announced it already. We can announce it again. We will be in East Lansing for the Marshall College football show because it is, it's a big rivalry game, you know, Michigan, little brother, Michigan State, the whole thing. But you know, we, and so that argument will be decided this weekend. And I assume you're still sticking with, you think Michigan State's going to win?
I think Michigan State's going to beat Michigan. Yes.
Okay. So, and we've done this ad nauseum. However, I think that what's going to happen is that we're going to see Michigan going, or are they in Columbus this year for that? They are, right?
No, they play Michigan. Ohio State's in Michigan.
They're playing at, I think that Michigan will be undefeated when Ohio State comes to Ann Arbor at, you know, on Thanksgiving weekend, and it's going to be fucking wild.
Well, if that happened, then that would set up a, that's the Big Ten's like best shot at like a two playoff team scenario, which I, that's another conversation for another day.
But, speaking of the Big Ten championship, watch out for Wisconsin.
There's a Wisconsin take coming.
Okay. But yes, Ohio State, like, I mean, there's nobody out there today that can sit, I mean, other than Dave Portnoy, that can sit and say anything bad about the way Ohio State played today. As we've mentioned a million times before, Brandon Walker, we are both on the College Football Show with Dan, Dave, and Big Ev. It is sponsored by FTX this year, and we're going back on the road again next week. We've been on the road pretty much every single week this month, thanks to FTX. We're going to be in Michigan, Michigan State. And, you know, we're getting closer to the end of the season, which makes me sad. But FTX right now is still in the mix with this student giveaway. There's a $100,000 crypto prize on the line for the number one school signups. And now, as I've mentioned, Dave's upped the ante. And he's now said that if he wins the $50,000 crypto from FTX, he will throw a party for the school with the most signups.
Oh, isn't that great for everybody? Well, fuck them. They're not getting that party. But I do want them to continue signing up because there's benefits regardless. You could win $100,000, right? So you're going to win that. You're not going to get my money because I'm going to end up winning the lockoff, and I'm putting that money to good use. Tommy Walker's getting some shoes, and we're all going to live a good life around here. So fuck your party, but FTX is making it possible for all of us.
Yes, FTX right now is investing for the crypto generation. The crypto is what everybody's talking about. It's all the buzz in the office. You can build your portfolio. You can follow the prices of more than 10,000 different coins. So again, if you're listening and you're in college, you go download FTX from the App Store, and all you have to do, it's completely free, use your .edu email address to sign up. That helps you move up the leaderboard to potentially win $100,000 prize split among the signups and potentially a party with Dave Portnoy. So again, visit the App Store, download FTX for free, and sign up using your .edu email address. And thanks to FTX for sending our dumbasses on the road every week. We absolutely love it.
Staying in the Big Ten, credit where it's due. I thought today was the most solid Michigan we've seen so far. I mean, Northwestern is god-awful. They're bad. But how do you treat a god-awful bad team? That kind of tells you where you're at in life. If you, you know, Penn State just lost to one. Michigan didn't even get close to losing. They won 33-7, just absolutely bitch-slapped them. And that's what you do when you're getting ready to play for a conference championship or getting ready to make your run towards glory. You smoke these teams. It's like, there's a team in the Big 12 we're going to talk about later that has the record, but they're like struggling against Kansas, so we don't know what to do with them. Michigan, meanwhile, getting ready for a huge game against Michigan State. Look ahead spot. No look ahead. They just beat the shit out of Northwestern. And this is, I assume, what you two have seen from this team and believe this team to be.
Yeah, and I mean, 33-7 doesn't really even do it justice. I mean, the entire game was just an absolute just blowout. Like this, like it's like that the very cliche, the score doesn't tell the whole story. Michigan looked like the team that Jack and I have thought they were gonna look like. I know that, you know, we're gonna, again, the argument's gonna be settled this weekend, but there's just something about this Michigan team right now. They look complete, they're playing good defense, they're playing well on offense. And they did bury a team in a week where they could have easily just mailed it in and still won that game. I mean, in barely any planet would I think that Michigan could have lost that game today. I guess we saw Penn State lose to Illinois, so I guess it could have happened. But they took care of business when they could have just mailed it in, knowing that they have to go to East Lansing next weekend.
I will say, I am a bit concerned with Cade McNamara. He's just like, after watching Ohio State tonight, I don't know how Cade McNamara would be able to be a quarterback that beats Ohio State because yeah. Michigan has a great defense. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Michigan may have the best
wide receiver core, running back core, and quarterback in the country. Like it's
Ohio,
there.
Ohio State, you mean?
Oh yeah, sorry, Ohio State with Trevion Anderson, C.J. Stroud, and then the wide receivers, and then the guy that has two last names or something for the wide receiver number 11 on Ohio State. He's also one of the best wide receivers in the nation too. So they have three of them.
Smith and Jigba.
So they're so. But I will say, Cade McNamara, J.J. McCarthy came in and the game and played okay, but he's still not really doesn't really have it. So I mean, Michigan's issue I think is the quarterback right now. The two running backs are great, but I think next week we'll see. You guys will be there, but I think they're going to run through them, and I will be vindicated. But you are right.
I mean, Cade McNamara only had like 129 yards today. Like it's not like he. Like when we're saying that the Michigan's offense is playing well, they're playing well enough to win these games, but they're not lighting it up like we're seeing Ohio State do. I mean, they were also playing Northwestern today. So
yeah, they were. But still, again, how you handle shitty teams can sometimes say just as much about you as how you handle good teams, right?
Yeah.
Because we have an example that happened today, Penn State. Came out there sleepy, came out there, didn't play very well, and got their ass beat by a shitty team. All right. We'll stay in the Big Ten for just a second longer. In a world where we like to throw teams away, where we like to watch them lose early and say, okay, well, they're trash, done with them. Shout out to Wisconsin for just getting up off the mat. And they go to Purdue today, and they beat a team that just beat Iowa. And Purdue's not great, but all of a sudden – a Big Ten West championship game has unfolded. Next week, it's Iowa at Wisconsin. That'll probably settle the Big Ten West, and that'll Wisconsin, who we threw out, just absolutely threw them out with the bathwater. They lost to Notre Dame. They lost to Penn State. We're done with you. Probably going to be watching them play for a conference championship in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and watching Dan process that today was so – when he was like, hold on, wait a minute. Don't bury him yet. And then, you know, when we were in Chicago, he was like the most depressed person ever. Like that's what, when I think it was last Sunday or Saturday, whenever we recorded, we talked about how big this upcoming weekend is. And now you are right. That game between Iowa and Wisconsin is going to be the representative for the winner between Ohio State and Michigan.
Yeah, it's very – now there are other teams out there that kind of – I think somebody DM'd me today that Minnesota still controls their own destiny, which it's just hilarious when you hear these things that can technically be true, but we all know that it's really not.
Well, technically everyone controls their own destiny.
Well, no, not anymore like they did at one point.
But
Rutgers doesn't control their own destiny. They've already lost too many times. But,
no, but Minnesota, like what are we talking about?
No, I mean, I think Minnesota – is actually turned out to be a pretty decent team. They're kind of like Wisconsin that we threw them out with the bathwater. Now, that being said, they did lose to Bowling Green, which is – I still don't understand how that was possible. They looked pretty good today against Maryland, and then last week they looked really good against Nebraska. They have Northwestern. They're going to go into the game against Iowa 7-2 most likely, and then it could be a play-in for the conference championship game against Wisconsin, which is obviously a rivalry game. That would be a great game.
Yeah, so
fine, whatever.
We can leave the Big Ten now when we're talking about Minnesota's path. Huh?
I said I won't hold my breath for that.
Well, now, wait a minute, Smith. I don't mean to open old cans of worms, but you certainly can't sit here and say it could happen with A&M and not recognize it could happen to other teams.
Fair point. I'm not even going to try to argue. Okay. But you said it could happen for A&M.
I mean, we'll get to them, but that defense tonight was.
I would do anything on the planet to go back and be able to play Arkansas and Mississippi State. And I'm not saying that we would beat you guys 100%.
Not how it works, Smith.
I know, but they were talking about it on the broadcast tonight. You know, Tom Hart and Jordan Rogers said it like, they implemented a new offense against Alabama, and it looks really good. They only put wide receivers in motion two times total against Arkansas and Mississippi State. They've now done it like over 40 times in the last couple of games. Whatever. Beside the point, well, we'll talk about them later. Go. What was your next point?
My next one, and you know how I write my notes sometimes. Sometimes I write out long ones. This one is just, what the fuck, Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Just when – right when we're getting back on board with you, just exactly when we're all like, okay, they turn the page. Spencer Rattler's now on the bench, and Caleb Williams could win the Heisman in 7 games. Come on, here we go. Oklahoma's about to start cruising. And then you go to Kansas, and you barely beat Kansas. And frankly, you probably benefited from a call that shouldn't have gone against Kansas when that ridiculous, you know, the running back gets stopped on 4th and 1, and Caleb Williams goes to get the ball and gets the first down. Like, that guy was stopped. His forward progress was stopped. Anyway, Oklahoma barely beats a Kansas team that is apt. What's happening here?
Katie's coming in.
Is she drunk?
No, she just said she got back to her hotel. So I said, come in.
Okay. Hello? All right.
Hello, just, Katie.
When were you going to tell us that?
She just texted me. I thought it'd be funny.
I suppose that it is. Anyway, what the fuck, Oklahoma?
What the fuck? Okay, and it is so funny. Like, we've talked about how it just absolutely changes every single week, but we were talking about just a few days ago, Caleb Williams, like you said, potentially being able to win the Heisman. It was so bad today that Kansas was embarrassing themselves as a university publicly by like begging students to come to the game.
No, I disagree.
You don't think that's embarrassing?
No, I don't. I love that move. I fucking love that move. I love the fact that Kansas fans haven't had a reason to get excited for football in a decade. I love the fact that their school was like, guys, you might want to get in here. Some things are happening. Come support these guys. They didn't win. But today was a big moment for Kansas. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's still the first year of a coach who's trying to turn something around. And today, getting people who weren't there in the first quarter to show up in the third quarter and get off their ass and come be a part of something, I think that was a cool moment.
I guess, but it's
no,
just
that
like,
was awesome. That was
what's
awesome.
Embarrassing about it?
They've already embarrassed themselves so
that's
many
true.
Times.
Okay, I guess I'm thinking about it from a standpoint of like, even when, you know, and it, you know, use your school. If you're listening to this, put your school in your brain. Like for me, even when A&M is bad, the stadium is still full. And I say bad in air quotes. Like there's never a time that I can imagine a mass university email going out and being like, please get to Kyle Field. And then to double down on it and be like, actually, you don't even have to buy tickets. If you're just in the area, come on down. Like that to me is a sad state of affairs for your football program.
Yeah, but I mean, it goes without saying Kansas is in a sad state of affairs.
Like, I know. Okay, so then let me rephrase. If we're putting it in the lens of Kansas, then yes, it is not embarrassing because it is Kansas. It's definitely embarrassing for OU that happened to them while they were playing Kansas as the third team ranked in the country.
Yeah, it's like OU is just a difficult. I'll get to OU in a second. Hi, Katie.
Hello. Katie. I just got to my hotel.
Katie.
What time's your flight in the morning?
I have to be in the lobby at 5:45.
Ew.
Katie, it's 11:38.
I know.
You shouldn't be here. You should just be sleeping.
I missed a bunch. I'm going to say hi.
Brandon also already outed our cigarette story, so.
Oh, sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad.
I already apologized for you. I apologize to Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Mr. and Mrs. Pondicio.
Drunk cigs, drunk food, and free food all don't count.
Time out, Paul. Can I get a 20? You weren't drunk at all when you guys stopped and smoked them cigarettes.
No. It's 3 different things. Drunk cigs, drunk food, and free food don't have calories.
What? Are you drunk now?
No, I'm not. I'm deliriously tired, but like, it's just a joke. Like when you're out at a bar and you go and eat all the greasy food.
Yeah,
it's like,
no, we get that. But what he's saying was when we got the cigarettes, we weren't drunk.
Oh yeah, no, correct. 100%. I'm putting like, oh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right, whatever.
Back to football.
Well, I mean, I still say I'm still relieved that y'all actually smoked the cigarettes and didn't do what I thought you were going to do in the first one. Back to football. Oklahoma.
Boy.
How do you rank them? I'm not saying how do you put them in the top 25. What I'm saying is, How do you go about slotting them in? I don't know what to do with them. They won't lose. I wish they just quit being stubborn. Go ahead and fucking lose. But they keep trying to lose. They keep trying to be bad. And then right when you said, okay, well, I'm going to drop them to 11 because they're just not, bam, they beat Texas. They come back and beat Texas. Bam, they beat, you know, whoever. They like, every time you think you know them, something changes with them. I don't know what to make of Oklahoma.
You know what doesn't change? Their defense is fucking awful. And Katie looked at me at the in the bus today, and we both were just like, this defense is so bad. And Caleb Williams made some great plays today. Like, obviously, you know, we're like, we're talking about how, like, how ridiculous it was they were even in a game with Kansas. But Caleb Williams, I still, like, he still should be starting. And, like, credit to Spencer Rattler for, you know, I mean, I don't know, like, he hasn't entered the transfer portal yet. I mean, I would assume he's going to at any point. Maybe he'll wait till the end of the season. But, I mean, Oklahoma's defense, if you can't stop Kansas, what the hell are you going to do when you play Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, whoever it may be? Like, you can't stop Kansas's offense? Like, this is – yeah. And I – you know, you say you don't think they're going to lose. Like, I know Oklahoma State –
Well, no, I didn't say that.
Oh, you – I thought you said they're not going to – well, whatever. Like, I know – like, I guess you're meaning through the conference. Oklahoma State, I realize they lost today.
Casey, I don't know. You and Katie are both on drunk pills or something. I didn't say – I'm about, in fact, one of my next points is saying Oklahoma might lose three times.
I must have misheard you. I'm not –
What I said was they won't go ahead and lose. Like, what I'm saying is they just won't go ahead and do it.
To be – and also, I don't have any drunk pills. I haven't had any alcohol today. Thank you.
Yeah, but that's if you had your choice, you would have. On the plane, this she was scouring through shelves trying to find wine.
Don't you judge me? what I said, I was like, I'm not gonna open up the vodka or anything. If there's wine, I might enjoy a nice glass. If not, I haven't had any today. But even if I did, I'm a fucking adult. I can drink wine if I want.
Don't holler at me, Smith. All right.
Your point about Oklahoma, who do they play next week?
Next week they play in Texas Tech. Then they finish the season with this. At Baylor, who's salty. I mean, Baylor's underrated as fuck right now. Home to Iowa State, who is off the mat and swinging. And then on the road at Oklahoma State. So they finish with two out of three ranked teams on the road. They've tried to lose already. They could go 12-0. I wouldn't be surprised. They go 9-3. I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, they're going to beat Tech, which I guess but you know what? I can't even really say that because Kansas is worse than Texas Tech, and they could have easily won that game today. I mean, you know, the final score, again, you know, the cliche thing, it doesn't really tell the story. They won by 12 points. But that was much closer than 12 points by the end of the game. I mean, there was multiple times we're like, holy shit, what was Kansas money line? And why didn't we sprinkle something on that? But, you know, Oklahoma State frustrated the shit out of me today because I know, Katie, you had the under and I had the over. And it was that came down to that very last play. But one thing with Oklahoma State and Iowa State is they play defense. Oklahoma doesn't play defense. So they're going to run into these teams where even if, you know, Caleb Williams and company can put up a million points, they're not going to be able to stop the other team from putting up a million points.
Yeah, it's just a wild, like, Oklahoma's just going to be a week-to-week thing where we just kind of live and die with everything. And the Atlanta Braves are going to the World Series.
The Atlanta Braves, Houston Astros World Series is just...
The Atlanta Braves are going to the World Series. They have just beaten the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they are in the World Series for the first time in 22 years. Just a remarkable turn of events that they were denied the All-Star game. Now they're going to be playing the World Series.
The difference between the Astros and the Dodgers or the Red Sox and the Dodgers and the Astros and the Braves is just a tremendous drop-off.
I think the most interesting one would have been the Braves and Red Sox. That's two teams with national followings. Anyway, we're talking about baseball. Okay, so Clemson's officially off the throne. They are officially knocked off the throne now. Going into today, they had lost twice, but they were still in contention for the ACC championship. They still only had one conference loss. You know, people had already thrown them out too, but going into today, they still could have, if they won at Pitt, they would have had a good chance of winning the ACC championship. Now, all of a sudden, Clemson is off the throne. They're out. They're no longer the power in the ACC. I don't know how long that'll last. I don't know if this is the beginning of the end for Dabo. I doubt it. But Clemson is now officially not on top of the ACC anymore.
They're definitely not. But here's and this is not knocking Clemson because I really liked Clemson when Trevor Lawrence was there. But like they didn't deserve to be on top of the ACC this year. Had they beat Pitt today and they were still in the race for potentially winning the ACC, it would have been a travesty because that offense is horrific. Like, the offensive line isn't good. We've talked about DJ a ton. And I just can't figure out what happened between who we saw last year when he came in for Trevor, when Trevor had COVID, and what we're seeing this year. But, like, Clemson has no business being the representative for the ACC to be in the conversation after the way they played this year. They have stunk from the beginning. And I understand that, you know, the Georgia game is kind of an aberration at this point. But, like, today just solidified everything I've been saying about Clemson this whole season. They stink.
I don't know that I agree with much of that. But what do you mean?
I mean,
if they won the game today, yeah, they would have deserved to be in the ACC mix because they would have won the game at Pitt. They didn't win the game.
No, but I'm saying, like, the way that they've been playing and, like, the way that Dabo, like, they've been squeaking out these games and Dabo's like, see – I never talk shit about Dabo. Like, oh, like, see, I hope everybody else learned something today because I didn't learn anything. This team has heart. We told you. It's like this team has not played well enough to the expectation. Wait, I had them in the Final Four because I thought they were going to the drop-off wasn't going to be anywhere near it was. The drop-off is so big that, yes, like, obviously on paper they would deserve to be in the conversation. But from the eye test and watching what they've done this year in comparison to what they were supposed to do, they don't deserve it.
Yeah, I'm getting hung up on the words "don't deserve." Maybe that's just a me problem.
But I mean, we're talking about Oklahoma. Like, I
understand. No, but what I'm saying is, Casey, if you go out and you win the amount of games it takes to win the ACC, then you deserve it. They were until today, they were right in line with it. Like, we were kind of overreacting about how bad they were. Their defense is still elite. Their offense is god awful trash.
Their defense is very good. Now, maybe we get into these semantics offs. I'm not saying, like, they wouldn't deserve it, like, by the book, like, on paper. I'm saying just watching this team has been so frustrating that, like, I'm almost not glad they lost because I don't care about Pitt either. But it's like, all right, like, this is the Clemson team we knew they were. So we don't need to continue to have the conversation going down the stretch on if they're going to win the ACC or not because they're just not good.
And Pitt, a program that, I thought would get in a game with Clemson and they could perhaps just shit the bed because this is a moment, you know, whenever Pitt has a moment, they always find a way to not come through. Listen, they're sitting right there. They're undefeated in the ACC. They've got a very good quarterback. We've got fascinating races shaping up in the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the ACC. I'll start with the ACC because NC State just lost to Miami 31-30. That really doesn't change the race in the ACC very much because we're going to have basically a conference or a Atlantic championship game between Wake and NC State at some point. Mm-hmm. NC State now has the one conference loss, but if they beat Wake, then, you know, they would have the tiebreaker and the game over them. By the way, how many games have you ever seen that both teams in the game beat the over by themselves?
Insane. 70 points. By Wake Forest today?
70? Army scored 56 and they lost by 14.
You would be an idiot to take the under. Just an idiot. Just
Katie, what'd you take?
Definitely not the over, at least.
Damn.
I never bet overs. I woke up this morning and looked at 53 and I was like, you know, these two teams score. And I bet the over.
A rushing matchup and Army's defense, and clearly
70 points.
One of the weird things about Army this year is, like, they've been in shootouts. They've been in multiple shootouts. Like, and you don't feel like Army, you always feel like you want to bet the under, but they've been in shootouts. But anyway, in the ACC, we're going to have Wake and NC State for the Atlantic. Now we got a race between Pitt and Virginia in the Coastal. Virginia's already got two losses, but assuming, you know, Pitt loses somewhere down the road, it's the ACC. We all knew it was going to come down to Wake, NC State, Pitt, and Virginia.
We all knew that. We said that at the beginning of the year. That's
I said it, yeah.
Yeah, definitely not. North Carolina wasn't in the conversation.
Never.
Miami wasn't. You didn't think Miami was good?
Or not. Speaking of, at the end of the game, I know we were already recording, but I was watching it. Like, Manny Diaz was just like, the look on his face was like, holy shit, I might have saved my job tonight.
You know a coach who ought to be fired, and I don't think anybody's talked about him, but Washington and this Jimmy Lake character out there, they had to rally to beat Arizona, who is legitimately the worst Power 5 team in America.
Yeah, that's not hyperbole or overreaction. They are actually the worst Power 5 team in the country.
Them are Vanderbilt, but I would say Arizona's probably a little worse. I Jimmy Lake at Washington's got to go, man. That guy's awful.
Neutral site right now. Are you taking Arizona or Vandy?
Vandy's at least like felt victory.
That's true.
I like Arizona lost to an FCS team that was like a 26 point. Anyway, whatever.
They hadn't done it in like 100 years or something like that.
Like these races, like you're going to have the ACC, which is going to shape up over the last month. And I'm not counting the SEC right now because I believe that either Georgia or Alabama will win it. I don't think that's much of a stretch. I just don't see another team winning the SEC. And out west in the Pac-12, it appears, especially with the win today, I feel like Oregon is a solid favorite to go ahead and win the Pac-12. Whether they can do it with one loss or not, we'll see. But in the Big Ten, the Big 12, the ACC, anything can happen. In the Big 12, I think you have four teams. You got Oklahoma, undefeated. Oklahoma State, who lost today, but still pretty much control whatever they want to do. Iowa State, who once again, every single year they do this, they fall behind and then they right the ship. And then Baylor, who's got the one loss. So that's going to be fascinating in the Big 12. We didn't talk about the game of the day, or maybe one of the games of the day. It was Oklahoma State and Iowa State.
I mean, a crazy game.
And Jack, you watched it more closely than I. I went back and watched some of it, but I saw at least maybe three just egregious calls by that officiating crew. Like the final fourth down, I think, was pretty bad. And then the taunting call, which is a discussion in and of itself. I don't think there's any fan in the world that really wants NFL or college football to crack down on taunting. And if that's the idea of taunting, it's going to take away touchdowns. Just get rid of that rule altogether.
So we were on the plane, you know, with spotty Wi-Fi, and, you know, we noticed that called it back for taunting, but there, like, I watched that play and I was like, am I missing something? Am I blind? Like when Ev first said it, he was like, oh, he did the high step. I'm picturing Deion's high step, which still shouldn't be a penalty. Like, I want to see that shit all the time. The guy, like, he should have, like, that. He literally just made his strides longer. That's all he did. Like, he slowed down a tiny bit and just kind of made two longer strides, and that was taunting, and they called it back, and then they didn't score on that drive, if I'm correct. You cannot do that. That cannot be.
I think they did score on that drive, but it doesn't really affect my interpretation of it.
They scored, like, a few plays later.
Yeah.
Well, again, the plane, you never know when Dan and Dave start yelling on the plane. You never know.
Yeah, they score. But that doesn't – I don't care if they scored or not, because officials should be there to officiate games, not be there to affect games, not be there to affect my enjoyment of games. They should call penalties that give a team a gainful advantage. They should call penalties when somebody's unsportsmanlike, really. They should give penalties when somebody's in danger. They shouldn't give penalties when their feelings get hurt, or when somebody lifts his ankle 2 inches higher off the ground than you think he should. Just a ridiculous whenever officials try to start regulating emotions of games, that's when officials make mistakes and look like the biggest tryhards in the world.
Well, and again, broken record, I would love for those officials to have to sit up in a press conference after the game and be like, what about that was taunting? Explain to us what you saw that was taunting, because not only was just the action itself nothing to be upset about, there wasn't anybody within like 10 yards of him, 15 yards of him. So it's not like he was doing it on, like, in someone's face. And we, like, he could have walked that football in at that point. Like that he was scoring a touchdown no matter what. It wasn't like he did something just absolutely insane in order to score that touchdown, but the refs can just get away with it. Like, is anybody going to explain why that was taunting?
You know, as far as Oklahoma State losing this game, some would argue that Oklahoma State losing is bad for the Big 12 because they were an undefeated team that's now out. But I think it was actually good for the Big 12 because it keeps Iowa State in play. And it gives you four teams that can legitimately win the conference in this last month of the season. It makes the games with Oklahoma State, Iowa State, and Baylor involved just that much juicier. And I actually like the result. You know, it's tough to go undefeated. Oklahoma State was never a team that was going to go undefeated, but now they have the one loss. They get Oklahoma at home to end the season. They can be there at 11-1 and be in the mix. So I thought that was, you know, it was a good game and didn't really hurt the Big 12. Okay.
But it's fun because there's more chaos, but like we've all said it his entire career, like Mike Gundy is going to lose a game at some point. Like it's like the, you know, that's just kind of the way things happen. But again, I cannot say this enough. Oklahoma State's defense is really what puts them apart from these other teams in the Big 12. Now I would be very upset if Baylor's there. We all know how I feel about Baylor, but I like the idea that there is chaos. And, you know, I mean, Texas is not good, but like Texas is still has to play some of these teams too, right?
I mean, Texas is right there to affect this race. Like I think Texas has Baylor next week. So.
Yeah, like Texas is still there to like kind of fuck some things up too. So it's like, you know, now you've got really four teams you're looking at to win the Big 12, but then you do have Texas that can just play spoiler for Baylor next week or whatever else. So it's like the Big 12 is a question mark. Outside of the fact that Oklahoma is undefeated, but again, you look at the eye test and you say, okay, they're undefeated, but they could have lost to Kansas today.
All right, a couple more takes before we get to me setting up next week a little bit.
I have one.
Okay.
Is Cincinnati still in a college playoff discussion after today, if that's not one of your takes?
I feel like they're definitely still in the playoff discussion. I don't know that they're in a playoff discussion position of strength when it comes to the discussion, but they're definitely in it because, hey, they struggled against Navy. Okay, that doesn't look great, but Oklahoma's sitting right there, right? And that happened. We saw that. So I think and in this year where you got one team that's like super – that looks elite and everything 2 through 20 is muddy as hell, I think Cincinnati's fine. It wasn't impressive. It wasn't great. But I think they're no less in the discussion tonight than they were going into this morning.
I think that they're definitely still in the discussion. I would say they're a little bit less in the discussion only because if they do go undefeated, which I think that they will, like had they buried Navy today, they could potentially make an argument that's like they should get in over a one-loss Power 5 team. Like right now, and you're seeing the arguments on Twitter, it's like there's – like if you had Ohio State sitting there and Cincinnati, that's a no-brainer. Undefeated Cincinnati or one loss Ohio State, you're putting in Ohio State immediately. I would have said that probably anyways, but Cincinnati not burying a team today when they could have for like the strength of schedule and the eye test, that did hurt a little bit.
Yeah, but here's my deal. A, I think Alabama's going to lose again to Georgia, so they're not really in the discussion. B, I think Oregon's going to lose again, so they'll have two losses. At that point, you'll have – undefeated Oklahoma, undefeated Georgia, one loss Ohio State, and then, oh, look, there's a spot. A spot's there. And they're in the discussion for that spot. Cincinnati is. So I'm fine with that. And
you with like a one-loss Michigan at that point.
We'll deal with that when we get to it. But whatever you want to – whoever you want to throw in, you can't deny they're still – Cincinnati's very much in the discussion for it.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm not saying that they're not. I'm saying that if I – from – when I woke up this morning to right now, I think that their case was a little bit, it was weakened a little bit. I do not think that they are absolutely still squarely in the discussion, but I do think that the committee looks at games like that and says, oh, they didn't bury this team. They should have buried this team. They were what, 21 and a half point favorites? 27. 27 and a half, 28 point favorites. And they struggled against a team that they didn't need to struggle against. Do we really want to put them in the playoff against Georgia? Those are conversations I think that do happen, and that weakens it. Not a whole bunch, but it definitely comes into play.
Don't look now, But that Notre Dame win at Notre Dame is aging pretty well.
Yep.
And like it's if you get to the end of the season and Notre Dame's the number 8 team in the country and they're 11-1, I mean, shit. What more can you ask? But anyway, that's another discussion for another day. But I think Cincinnati. I disagree with you. I think Cincinnati is just as much in discussion right now as they were 12 hours
ago. I feel like you're saying that, like, I don't think they're in the discussion. I think they are. I think that if I was sitting here, like, marking down, did somebody help their cause or hurt their cause today, I would say that Cincinnati hurt it a little bit, but they're still absolutely in the conversation. I'm not taking them out.
And here's a take that I'll probably stand alone on. They won 52-24 tonight over Tennessee. Alabama's still not great. Alabama's, I think they're 6th or 7th best team in the country, which is pretty good for anybody. But I think their defense is still soft. And this is, I mean, listen, they beat us by 40 last week, but whatever. We suck. I think their defense is soft. I think their offense is good, but not Ohio State good. They won 52-24 tonight against Tennessee, but I don't know. I still don't see it with Alabama.
I don't completely disagree, obviously, because A&M beat Alabama. So, you know, I mean, that's just a fact. But I do, like, I early on in that game, there was, and maybe, again, it's just because it's Nick Saban, I never thought that game was going to be close. Even when it was 14-14, like, okay, you know, like, sure, Tennessee's hanging around, and, you know, what's going to happen if they lose to Tennessee? I never thought that. I mean, they covered the game. They covered the spread at the end of it. It's like the Alabama is still putting teams away. They just let them hang around for a little bit too long. And the only time they haven't done that is when they lost to A&M, which at the time looked like an aberration. But they're just letting him hang in too long. Now, you talk about the playoff, you're correct. Like playing against Ohio State or Georgia or whatever. But like they're still covering big-time spreads.
Yeah, I don't really care about them covering the spread. I don't know.
No, but I'm saying like they're still like putting the teams away when they need to. And I mean, Bryce Young played pretty well tonight.
Yeah, Bryce Young probably. And this is, I promised myself we wouldn't talk about this because I just don't think it's time yet. The Heisman race hasn't started taking shape yet. But if I had to give one away right now, it'd probably be to Bryce Young, even though I don't think he's really earned it. He's earned it more than anybody else, though.
I'm glad you're on that ship with me now.
I don't know how you couldn't be. Like, Matt Corral, by the way, they won today, but he was bad. Like, he wasn't very good. He had, like, 190 yards passing. He's not – no. No.
LSU just woof.
I don't think he can woof there, but I mean, because – whatever. Like, Orgeron's done. They're just playing for the next coach now. They whatever. They'll figure it out. And then Oregon keeps winning. Oregon with a big-time win today at UCLA. It looked like they were – Cons, Captain Cons text me. Maybe you're asleep, but whatever. Few will understand. I'm just so bummed. Played a better team, played them tough for 2 weeks. Sucks.
Send him a picture of the Zoom right now and say that we just
– Yeah.
I mean,
Jack, damn it.
Con.
Hold on.
I mean, Con.
Buddy, Jack.
You guys allowed Casey 70 talk. Points.
Casey, talk.
What do you want?
Talk.
So I am talking.
I want you big again. I want Casey big.
I'm sitting here talking right now.
Now give the peace sign again.
Okay, I'm talking right now. Hello.
All right. I got to text him back the picture.
I got a noise complaint from this podcast. That was my phone call. The hotel just called me and said that someone complained.
Go to fucking bed, Katie.
I don't even finish the podcast.
Also, I don't feel like we're being that loud.
Well, no, we're not.
A lot of louder shit happens in hotel rooms. Just saying.
Nice, Casey.
I mean, am I wrong?
You know, Casey.
Yes, Brandon.
It ain't easy being the king.
Oh, God.
The king of Sling. Ugh. I have the #1 live show on all of Sling TV. How does that feel?
Is that true?
Good. It feels good. I was asking myself. I wasn't even asking you. It feels great. Every night at 6 p.m., the Brandon Walker College Football Show, which, listen, this is our college football show that we do it right here. But that one, I just get to be my own goofy, stupid self, and I get to say whatever, and I get to yell at callers. I get to yell at callers. Like, I don't yell at you. I respect you too much. I don't respect them. I just get to yell at them.
Yeah, you do also yell at me, too. I would like that on record.
Shut up.
No, you are the king of Sling. I will give you that, the Brandon Walker College Football Show with Brandon Walker. But Sling also, you know, we do have the Barstool exclusive channel that runs, you know, your live show, but also runs all of our content all the time. So you can go and you can watch College Football Show, the Pro Football Show, Roan, Nick, KB, whatever you want, it's on there. But also you can go find all your favorite sports channels. So ESPN, Fox Sports 1, TNT, and much more. And it's all together for so much less. You know, we're the generation of cord cutting. Sling right now is helping you with your TV experience. And also, did you know that they're putting past episodes of Unnecessary Roughness now on Sling?
Really?
Yes, they are. They're putting our episodes on there. They're putting the Yak, they're putting Stool Streams, they're putting all of it on the Barstool exclusive. So that means we need to probably start looking a little bit better when we do these things, because we're now also on Sling.
Well, that their decision to do this comes back to my answer for improving everything.
Oh, really?
Yes. Three simple words to fix your life, to fix everybody's life, to make everything more entertaining, and to help the Barstool channel grow. More
Brandon Walker.
Brandon Walker.
Wow. I couldn't see that narcissism coming from a mile
away. More Brandon Walker.
Whatever you're into right now.
More Brandon Walker.
The narcissism more off the charts.
Brandon Walker.
Go to sling.com/Barstool to sign up right now and get your first month starting at just $10. So when you sign up, your first month is 10 bucks. It's $35 a month normally, and $35 a month in the world of cable, where it's usually hundreds of dollars to get all these live sporting events and entertainment, is absolutely nothing. Sling.com/Barstool. Sign up now.
Next week, we are able to bounce back from the subpar slate we had today, although it still gave us some great college football moments, some great college football performances, some great college football upsets. But next week is a week that we've kind of had circled for a while. You're going to have teams like Michigan, Michigan State, that undefeated battle in East Lansing. You've got Iowa, Wisconsin could be for the Big Ten West. Even like Texas, Baylor, Georgia, Florida in the world's largest cocktail party. Ole Miss at Auburn in a sneaky, really good SEC game. Penn State's at Ohio State, obviously. But even down the line in a non-Power 5, like, you've got Fresno State at San Diego State, which is going to be fantastic. You've got North Carolina at Notre Dame, which is interesting. Virginia at BYU, which is – I mean, that's two pretty good teams that are off the radar. SMU at Houston, you got UCLA, Utah. Like, there's just a ton of good football next week.
There's a lot of good football, and obviously the Big Ten is the headliner, which we've talked about this entire podcast. But, you know, when I was watching the Alabama-Tennessee game tonight, like, the SEC West is very interesting right now, because, you know, you just went through, you know, the whole situation with what you think Alabama is, and then you have Ole Miss, you have Auburn, and then A&M with two losses, but with the win over Alabama. And so it's like that – the SEC West is an incredibly interesting race right now.
I also think all three of the teams you didn't mention there can make life tough on the four you did mention. Like, I don't think Mississippi State's a great team. Could they beat Ole Miss? Yes. I don't think Arkansas is a great team. Could they step up and beat somebody? Yes. I don't think LSU is a great team. Could they stop somebody? Yes. So I think the West is – ridiculously fascinating right now. Like, I think Alabama's probably the best team, but, well, you know what? I don't know. Like, Alabama's got the best record, but as of right now, an argument could be made A&M's the best team in the West right now. I don't like that. I don't like that I have to say that to you, but, and then there's an argument to be made that Auburn might be the best team in the West right now.
I mean, we give Auburn credit where credit was due, and Bo Nix played that game the way that he did last week. But, you know, and this is not a homer take from me. I mean, obviously it's going to sound like one. But, I mean, A&M's offense figured it out. They switched up whatever they needed to switch up to get Calzada into the rhythm that he needed to be. And the defense is so fucking good. Now, yes, they were playing South Carolina, and South Carolina is terrible. But that's why, I said I would love to go back and play Arkansas and Mississippi State again. But, A&M and Auburn still have to play. You said A&M and Ole Miss still have to play. A&M right. and LSU, like, you look at all these teams that are in the mix, and they all still have to play each other. And Alabama could lose in the Iron Bowl easily. Alabama, it's just like, I think Alabama is going to win the West. And I think that, I still believe that I can't fathom a world where Georgia just waltzes through the entire thing, just because I don't feel like that would be – football gods can't give us that. But the SEC West is the second most interesting thing to me outside of the Big Ten.
I would argue the SEC is more interesting because I just feel like I've come to the logical conclusion in the Big Ten, which is it's all been nice. It's been fun. We've had some shiny records. Ohio State's about to thump everybody's ass.
So if you were looking right now, the Power Five, and, you think Ohio State's by far the best, we have to see what happens next week. What is the most interesting race to you? Because we talked about the Big 12, too. The Big 12 is interesting. The ACC is interesting, but does it really fucking matter? And then the Pac-12 is it seems like it's Oregon.
When you say interesting, I the ACC interests me for one reason, because of who's not in it. The fact that Clemson has owned that conference, and even, if you thought Clemson was going to fall off, normally you would say, all right, one of the other blue bloods there would step up. But a Miami would be having a good year, therefore Clemson fell off. Florida State would be having a good year, therefore Clemson fell off. Well, now Clemson's having a bad year, and every other team with the national championship capability in the ACC is also having a bad year. So you've got these teams. It's just fascinating to me that you've got a race between the runts of the litter. Like it's Pitt. Nobody would argue that Pitt's a top – 5 ACC program, or NC State, or Wake Forest, or Virginia. But these are the 4 teams right now that are in the best shape to win the conference. So that does fascinate me. I recognize it probably doesn't – it's like throwing a very small rock in a huge pond. It's not going to make a whole lot of ripples, but what a pretty rock. It's going to be something to watch. I just want to see how it all unfolds. And you're right. The SEC West – is going to be a war every week, and you won't be able to rest when you play Arkansas or Mississippi State or LSU. And, the Auburns of the world are going to have to do it. The Ole Misses, the Texas A&Ms, they're all going to be playing each other. And every week it's going to be something new in that conference, in that division. And the East is just sitting over there decided already. Georgia's already, they beat Kentucky. They'll beat Florida next week. That'll be over and done with.
Right. That's what I'm saying is the SEC is on one side solidified, and on the other side, again, on paper, it's sure, it's Alabama. But when you look at the standings and who's beaten who and who has to play who, it's a lot of shit can happen.
All right, Jack, do you want me to go ahead and make my prediction for next week? I got a bold prediction for next week.
Why don't you save it for the Tuesday podcast?
I'm saying. I'm not. I'm going to save it for the Tuesday podcast.
What is it?
We're going to beat Kentucky.
Oh. Well, your team
is going to be Mississippi State's going to beat Kentucky.
Let's.
Mississippi State's going to beat Kentucky. Mississippi State's going to beat Kentucky.
Mississippi State played very well today.
We're going to beat Kentucky. Don't tell anybody I said that.
You see the faces that me and Casey have right now? To your reaction to that.
That should be a good game. I'm excited for that game.
Listen, I listened to that A&M bullshit for 20 minutes.
You literally just said that you think A&M might be the best team in the SEC West.
I do think that. I think that argument could be made. But I listened to that. I can't have one sentence where I say Mississippi State's going to beat Kentucky.
I didn't say fucking shit.
You have the same face. You both have the face on.
Brandon, I've had this face on since you texted us 4 hours ago.
All right.
For the Iowa-Wisconsin game next week, what is your prediction for the total?
Four. Four and a half.
Four.
Wisconsin's kind of been scoring a little bit, so I don't know. I don't think it'll be that bad. It'll be 42 and a half, something like that.
I think it'll be 35.
No, it'll start between 41 and 44.
There's never been a total that low.
What I was going to say, what's the lowest
total? Wisconsin, Purdue, someone was 38 this week.
Damn.
San Diego State Air Force was third. Was that around was it, 38. Yeah. I just don't. Maybe it gets to that 38. 35 would be unheard of. But, I mean, I guess who knows?
Like, plus or minus, but yeah.
All right, let's do our awards and we can get out of here. This is going to be a tough week to do this. I guess I can start with whoever wants to say it. Casey, we'll start with you. Who won the week?
I don't want to go first.
Katie Stats, who won the week?
I'd probably say Illinois. I don't know if they really checked out of their season. This might bring them back in, especially after Bielema's quote. Actually, sorry, so Bielema. He said that to his team, and then he went around and beat Penn State. So he covered his ass.
Jack.
Man.
It's a hard one this week.
UTSA is my winner of the week. Everyone thought they were in a tough situation against Louisiana Tech. Everyone was on Louisiana Tech plus the points. It was a hot pick. Louisiana Tech money line. UTSA goes in there, wins by 42-16, I think the final score was. They're 8-0 now. That program was not in dire straits, but had a tough end to their last coaching staff. And, you know, they're 8-0 now. Who knows what they can do. So, yeah, meep, meep.
Casey Smith.
I'm going to say Iowa State, just because I know I think you're going to take Ohio State. But I'm going to say Iowa State, just of all the things that you mentioned earlier today, and like, you know, Oklahoma State was undefeated going into it, but now Iowa State is squarely back in the discussion for the Big 12. And so maybe just kind of like the Big 12 as a whole is kind of like they're the winners, because now it's like it is going to be complete chaos. And if you're a team that's looking at Oklahoma almost losing to Kansas and you're sitting on the outside, you're like, well, okay, this conference is still wide open. So I guess I would say Iowa State if I had to pick one.
So you accuse me that I'm going to take Ohio State, and you're wrong. I am actually going to take another team that begins with O, and it is the Oregon Ducks. And they won on a couple levels. I almost feel like people are just waiting for them to lose again. They're waiting for the other shoe to drop, but they're not losing. And they went on the road and beat 5-2 UCLA, 34-31. They were able to, doesn't matter how you win it, you just won it. And Oregon keeps winning. They keep winning. And there's so much discussion about Cincinnati and Ohio State and this and Oklahoma. And Oregon is just sitting there. And every time Ohio State does something impressive, that's depositing money in the account of Oregon too. That's not just depositing money in the Ohio State account. Every time Ohio State impresses or gets one of these Big Ten wins, that's another notch in Oregon's belt, because they have the road win at Ohio State. So not only did Oregon win their game today on the road against a ranked opponent, they're going to be able to ride the Ohio State wave because they got the win in Columbus. Oregon won the weekend. All right.
Very good.
Thank you. I'm very good at this.
A plus.
Let's go with who lost the week. We will start again with Katie Stats.
Me and my bets. I only won 2 bets today. It was bad.
Down bad.
Ripped a new one.
Jack Mack.
Justin Fuente lost the weekend. I don't think, maybe when I went to the bathroom, you guys talked about him. Virginia Tech lost to Syracuse. Virginia Tech was up, I think, 11 points with 5 minutes to go. Justin Fuente, I know we talked about it, I think, on Tuesday or something. Justin Fuente, I wouldn't be surprised if he's fired tomorrow. I definitely wouldn't be surprised if he's fired at the end of the season. That's an unacceptable loss. That isn't against Syracuse. They're an average ACC team, but you can't do that. You're up. When I saw that they won, I was like, what? And then I won. So – yep, Justin Fuente, loser.
Casey Smith.
I mean, it's pretty easy, right? It has to be Penn State.
Yeah.
And it has to be. I mean, I would say Oklahoma too, but Oklahoma still won. And the conversation surrounding Oklahoma is not great, but they still got the W got the mark in the W category. I mean, it's Penn State. It's absolutely Penn State. There can't be another answer. That's more, I mean, obviously there can be other answers, but like the biggest loser is the fact that Illinois just beat them in 9 overtimes, and we were talking about Penn State potentially making a run in the Big Ten.
Yeah, the answer is Penn State, but I will take Oklahoma too, just to be able to talk about it. Because, listen, their season has been up and down. They still haven't lost, but it's been up and down. But right when they had the momentum, they had everything going their way. Mm-hmm. Everything. Everybody was on board with Caleb Williams. Everybody was on board with Oklahoma turning the ship around and becoming the Oklahoma that everybody thought could happen. And then they just shit the bed. They just go out and shit the bed against the worst program, not the worst team this year, because I think there are worse teams, the worst program in Power 5 football. That's who Kansas is. And Oklahoma should not even have to show up to beat Kansas comfortably. And they did not do it. They showed vulnerability. They showed their defense still isn't where it needs to be. Their offense isn't where it needs to be. And they showed that any discussion about Oklahoma for a national championship right now shouldn't be that serious, because you can't trust them. Every time you think you can trust them, you can't. All right, shit list time.
Can I add one more that I think we forgot from the week? But Steve Adazio, his play calling in Colorado State.
Since you're adding one, okay, I like that. Coastal also. Coastal just quietly just goes into that good night, going to App State and just getting beat. I want to pour one out for Coastal, because, you know, losing doesn't necessarily make you a loser. It just means, hey, Coastal had a hell of a run last year and then a hell of a run this year, and it's probably over now.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. It's like UCF had it a few years ago. It's like, all right, well, whatever. Congrats. You had it. Now you don't anymore.
Well, they can kind of become like an App State. App State's always in the Sun Belt mix. And then obviously all these conferences are changing mega, and we'll talk about that a little bit more.
We'll talk about that Tuesday.
However, I mean, Coastal Carolina can continue this momentum and become kind of like an App State that's always there, Louisiana Lafayette. And they do have a cool culture, and it's not hard to sell recruits to go to Myrtle Beach. Although Coastal Carolina, I mean,
well, the only thing I'll say about that is App State's been able to do it over multiple coaches, and Coastal hasn't yet done that. So we'll see when Chadwell moves on, will they be able to roll over? Will their culture take hold, and will they be able to roll over? Because App State can do it. I don't know if Coastal can. All right, shit list. Who's ready?
I'm ready.
All right, go Casey.
No, Jack, go.
Go, Jack.
Yeah, Brandon said it earlier. I'm just kind of going to echo his thoughts. The refs in the Iowa State, Oklahoma State game, the taunting penalty, that stinks. I know the refs are just doing their jobs, but that rule is awful. And then also, I mean, we got to find a better way to mark these balls, or not balls, but like the footballs, mark these footballs a bit better. Because the fact that we have a playoff deciding call have to be called by a guy who's, you know, 10, 15 yards away, and like he has to see where the ball is and the knee is at the same exact time is ridiculous. We need to find out a way to help this out in some, I don't know why we haven't, maybe somebody can educate me in this. I don't know why tennis has had something since like 2005. The tennis, they'll tell you exactly where the ball lands. If you're telling me there's not technology out there that can help us in these situations in massive football games, I don't know. It's just like, what are we doing?
That's what I was just gonna say, Jack. Like, how the fuck can we watch tennis? And it's immediately too. Like, it's like they don't have to like dick around. Like, it's the immediate thing. They know exactly where that is. So I agree.
That's my shit list.
My shit list is also going to be the taunting call, but even more so. And like, I wish that I thought of this on my own, but Rudy was the one that said it on the plane. It's so true. It's like, it was such an offensively bad call that like they should have thrown a flag on how bad the taunting actually was. Like, if that guy trying to high step like Deion Sanders, that was like terrible. Like, if anything, that was more offensive than the actual thing. I think taunting and Brandon, you said it earlier, with both college and NFL is so fucking stupid. These are grown men playing football. And if a guy wants to high step in the end zone, that's awesome. That's what the fans want to see. And if you're going to be calling touchdowns back, based on, even if it was, even if he had like turned around and run backwards, or if he had done something like that, like, who gives a shit? He just ran into the end zone. Like, that's not what fans want to see fixed. Like, that's taking a little bit of the fun away, just like, you know, with the horns down and all that bullshit. Like stop being so soft. Like, we don't care about taunting. Like, as long as they're not hurting each other, let them fucking taunt each other.
Katie Stats, anything?
Nothing comes to mind. I just put my, I mean, I put myself for the bets or whatnot, but I already did that for the other one.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I don't really have one either. There was nothing egregious that you haven't covered, you guys haven't covered. I thought the officiating in that game was frustrating, and I think the officiating overall is more frustrating than anything. I don't get mad at it anymore. I just get like, really? You want me to support this? You want me to support the sport, and you're going to give me questionable calls in the biggest games of the year? It's just ridiculous. But
I have one last shit list. Because you guys punted, I'll just give you another one.
I was actually not going to punt. I was circling back to mine.
Okay, go.
It was a fake punt.
No, yeah, I know. You fake punted, so go. You got me. First down.
I'm going to give it to James Franklin, actually. I think, you know, I said it last week, and I still believe it. I think LSU is going to focus on this guy. I think he can recruit at a very high level. I think he has the makings of a good coach, but ultimately good coaches don't lose to Illinois when they've got everything to play for. Everything to play for. You figure out a way to Brett Bielema just told you his players suck. He just said that in the press conference. He said, hey, all my players suck, and James Franklin players don't suck. And you're at home. You got Ohio State next week. Everything in the world is at your feet. And you lose to Illinois. You lose to a quarterback that throws for 38 yards. Like, if you're planning to leave to go to Southern Cal or LSU, you're doing a lousy job interviewing for those jobs by losing to Illinois. And if you plan to stay, you're doing a lousy-ass job building your program by losing to Illinois. James Franklin, every time I want to believe in you, you pull this shit. Shitless James Franklin. All right, you can have one more ad, Jack.
Yeah, during the Arizona-Washington game, Dan Wolkin tweeted out, like, if you are staying up to watch Arizona-Washington, you need to reevaluate your life. It just, like, goes again. I've tweeted a few times from the Unnecessary Roughness account because we've talked about it on the podcast. I don't know. I just agree with it. Like, I don't think Dan Wolkin likes college football. So Dan Wolkin's on my shit list. I mean, it's just weird. You cover college football, and then also, like, there's so many people out there that would, like, love to have Dan Wolkin's job. And yeah, he just, like, shits on the sport and the fans that pay his bills. It's just, I don't know, it really rubbed me the wrong way. And, like, it's kind of those things where it's, like, I wasn't shocked or surprised because that's just – he's shown us his true colors before.
Not only does he not like the sport, he – by with that tweet was basically saying that he doesn't like people that watch the sport. Like, the – I know, like, Dan Wolkin gets ripped apart all the time, but I actually went through and, like, read a lot of those replies. Everyone was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, why would I want to reevaluate my life? I'm a fan of football. Like, what are you talking about? He's just, he's so trolly at this point that, like, part of me wants to believe he's doing it on purpose. And I know he's not. I know he's not. But, like,
I don't think he's a troll. I think he's just a dickhead.
But, like, I'm saying, like, oh, you're staying up to watch this game. You need to reevaluate your life. Like, that's so ridiculously over the top that it's like, is he purposely trying to piss people off? I know he's not, but we're getting to that level.
All right. So, good stuff. That's a shit list. Big week next week. We'll be back Tuesday for our preview. And anything else, guys?
You didn't bowl 100 today.
I did bowl 100 today. I just didn't bowl 100 the first time out.
97.
I went 97-130, okay? The first one shouldn't count. You know that. The first one never counts.
Dan told me not to bring it up, so I just didn't.
After a long layoff, the first one never counts. All right, that's Unnecessary Roughness.